right, greetings, welcome in. It is Batter's Last Stand, show number 112, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studio in downtown Wheeling. And it's turned back into winter. We had a little bit of a heat wave. Now it's back to a blustery, chilly day out there. Lots of precipitation, some snow, some wintry mix, as Chris likes to say. And yeah, we're getting ready for Christmas now, just a few weeks away. But this is second week of December, and we're into the sports calendar as deep as we're going to go for a while, at least to the end of 2024. Pretty much everything going right now except for baseball, and we got plenty to talk about here. Recapping last week's action here from show number 111, we were up just over 10 units, about 10.3 units on the week. Definitely not very good, but could have been a lot worse. We had some really heartbreaking, agonizing losses, and then some other games that we were just way off on, and we had no chance. Sometimes we pick the right side, and it doesn't get there. Other times you pick the wrong side, and it does. So that's what makes this game so fun, and hopefully you are enjoying and trying to turn a little bit of a profit here with us on Better's Last Stand. But focusing on this week's action, as we got Champions League football going on right now. If you hear me react to anything, yeah, that may be why. We have some live tickets going right now that we'll talk about in the second portion of the show, the all football portion of the show, which we can hear over on the Watchdog Network as usual on a Friday afternoon. Time slot's a little bit different going forward. We got the Sam Andy Classic coming up, so we got three games that'll be on the Watchdog Network. We'll talk about those in length here and give you the rundown of the schedule coming up in just a little bit. But let's focus on what we did last week. 10.3 units again, not awful, but not great. We were 10-6 in college football. Georgia, the outright winner. We told you the Bulldogs were the better side there. Maybe people would disagree with that, but I never ever once in that game thought Georgia was going to lose. Just by watching the game, no matter how many mistakes they made, Texas could never make any plays. I'm not certain that Quinn Ewers is that good. I never really liked him that much, and I'm starting to really think that he's kind of right along the same lines as the Howard kid from Ohio State. Just okay against bad teams, but against real good teams, just okay, and maybe even sometimes mistake prone and sails the ball on his receivers quite a bit. Texas has a lot of talent, but I'm not sure they're tough enough to be able to win yet. I don't know if that's Sarkisian or just some of the players that he has that are left over from the old regime. We'll see here in the coming days as the playoff bracket is out. We'll get into that in depth in the second portion of the program. So again, Georgia was the call. We had them plus the points. We had them on the money line, so a good one there. And we were NFL. NFL was not so good. 6-9 in the NFL. Not good. Some really, really bad choices. Some games that had no prayer. We had the under in the Rams and Bills game. Jeez. Well, there's only 84 points. We narrowly got over the total. So, yeah, you know, those are the kind of games that just when things start spiraling out of control, you thought it was going to be played one style, and it was not. Because Buffalo, I was worried about Buffalo being able to cover in the slot, and they absolutely cannot. I thought maybe that I was just wrong about that, but I think that game showed that the Buffalo secondary's got a lot of problems. So, could be a tough one for them. They're going to have to outscore a lot of teams. So, 6-9 in the NFL, 7-3 EPL. We stay hot there, 19-7. Over the last 3 weeks, we were 3-4 in the Champions League match day 6. We have about 6 or 7 bets pending right now. So we'll hopefully be on the right side of that when it's all said and done. But graded to this point, we were 3-4 with 7 matches pending. EPL again, 7-3 last week, 19-7 over the last 3 weeks. No go in the F1. Actually, we were 1-2 in Formula 1 this week, 1-2. We had the double podium for Ferrari was 2nd and 3rd. So that not a bad one there, but you know, F1 season had not done us very good here. Since Sam left the show, we've kind of struggled a little bit. So sharing ideas with him obviously proves to be pretty important. College football futures 8-11. We recapped those last year, but we did cash four more NFL futures. Not bad. We're up to 12-2 on the season. So if you followed us on our NFL future bets, you're really doing well right now. It's 12-2. That's, I got to say, is hard to do, even for a professional. It is hard to do 12-2 in the NFL. And a lot of these were cigar smokers. I mean, we've won these bets now with several weeks of the season still left. So that's the mark of what we had, as was a pretty good wager on a lot of these. Now, we had some bad ones, too. So we had two bad ones in the NFL. We had a lot more in college. But nonetheless, 12-2 in our NFL futures. That's as strong as you're going to find in any service, anywhere, pay or non-pay. And now we have a situation here where we got a soccer penalty here. We got Borussia Dortmund, who's a team that we have on our ticket for this week on Better's Last Stand. They trail 1-0 to Barcelona in the 60th minute. They got a penalty now, so maybe they can knock that up at 1-1. All right, moving along, NBA and college basketball. Let's go through some of the best teams in the NBA cover-wise. 18-7 now for the Cavaliers, so they've definitely slid a tad. It was going to be hard for them to continue to play at the pace that they were playing early on. Toronto 17-8, Memphis 17-8, and the Houston Rockets 16-8. Those are your best cover teams in the NBA to this point. About 25 games in, and Borussia Dortmund converts the penalty 1-1 there in Dortmund. Yeah, it's a home game. All right, so worst cover teams. Again, those best cover teams in the NBA: Cleveland 18-7, Toronto 17-8, Memphis 17-8. Houston 16-8. The worst cover teams: the Washington Wizards 6-15-1. The Denver Nuggets, of all teams, 2 years removed from a title, and they are 8-13-1 against the spread. And then the disastrous experiment that has been the Phoenix Suns. They now 8-15 on the season against the spread. So bet those teams at your own risk. NBA overs and unders: Atlanta 17-8 to the over, Memphis 16-9 to the over, the Pacers 16-9 to the over, and the Cleveland Cavaliers 16-9 to the over. I went through the under stats. There's not a whole lot of teams. Like, every under, even the top under teams, like 9-11 or something, like, or 11-9. Like, there wasn't anything distinctive that stuck out trend-wise as far as the NBA and the unders go. Wonder why that is. Maybe because no one guards anybody. And I'm tired of that narrative being squashed by people. And there's a lot of people on shows that I respect that talk about the NBA and how good it is and how it's the best it's ever been. And I just have to professionally and politely disagree, because it's just not. It's an awful product. I can just tell you, just from my own excitement level, it's absolute trash. It's guys don't ever break out of a jog. And I know the athletes are tremendous. There's no question about that. But had Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and Dominique Wilkins had access to all the things that these guys grew up with, LeBron was spoiled from the beginning of time. Like, as soon as he was a kid, he was getting the best of everything. Those guys didn't grow up like that. None of them did. None of them came from a silver spoon livelihood where they were the very first day that they dribbled a ball, their parents knew, oh my, this person's going to be special. Or you had no avenues to even exploit that like you did in modern times. So you give them the access to the things that the modern day player has, and it's going to get real, real ugly about how good those guys would have been, because they had the basketball sense and the toughness. And you give them the better shoes and the basically LeBron's doing gene therapy to keep himself young. Give Michael Jordan that. See how many more years he could have played. Oh, good luck. Nonetheless, NBA, horrendous product, but I continue to give you the numbers on the stuff. If you want to bet it, that's fine. Even from time to time, I'll take a shot on something, but I'm not watching it. That's one thing where you won't hear me giving any in-play insight on the NBA, because to me it is extremely hard to watch and extremely it's just a bad product. On to something a little bit better: college basketball. Here's the best college basketball teams against the spread so far this year. It's Oregon State 7-0, the Beavers; St. Bonaventure 8-1; Houston Christian 7-1; Liberty 7-1; Elon 7-1; Furman 7-1; Florida A&M 6-1. Those are your best cover teams in college basketball. Worst cover teams in college basketball: Louisiana. We had them on here last week. Well, they haven't covered since. They're 0-8 now. Alabama A&M 1-5, UNLV 1-6-1. That is Grand Canyon 1-6. The Stony Brook Seawolves checking in at 1-7. St. Louis Billikens 1-7. Texas Southern 1-7. And the Minnesota Golden Gophers, Power Conference Gophers, look at this, 1-8-2 in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten schedule just starting to start up right now. So could be a tough sledding fair for the for the Gophers up at the Barn. Now, it used to be a pretty good home court advantage up there, but I'm going to have to keep this in mind when I go to the drawing board. I'm going to start to try to give you out some weekend College basketball plays maybe starting tonight, that being Friday. Metro Atlantic plays. I have a pretty good pulse on that league. It's one of the few leagues in Division I basketball that has had a lot of long-standing data, good trends, home gym advantages. There's not a lot of things that have changed. The competitors have stayed the same. Now, they have added some new teams, but the bulk of the teams are the same, so you start to get year-after-year data. You got major rivalries, and the proximity is very close. So it was the league that I always told people compared the most to the Mountain East or the previously the WVIAC in West Virginia. So the Metro Atlantic League is a league that I've had a lot of success in over the years. So they play usually on Fridays and Sundays, or they're usually their conference games. You also get Ivy League on Fridays and Sundays too. So once they start getting in, we had the first week last week, I dipped my toe in the water a little bit on their dogs. Dogs play well in that league. So actually, I was mad. I played a couple money lines on dogs that were catching like 1.5 on the road. And I think the two of the games, the team lost by one, and I played on the money line instead of taking the 1.5. And that was an example where I probably should have done both, but I did not. But I'll try to pass on some of those. I don't have the lines yet for those games. As the season goes on, I'll be able to kind of make my own line, so I'll be able to give you a kind of a previewed look on, okay, if this number is between this and this, we'll go with it. If it's not, then stay off. But I'll list these at BLS_PRP for you in some more Friday action, maybe some Saturday games as well as we get into conference play. And things are starting to heat up in college basketball. You're seeing a lot of games and a lot of good teams and a lot of good competition. So good to see. Glad to have it back in going strong. Worst college basketball teams, ATS so far. I already went through those. Louisiana is the very worst. Oregon and St. Bonaventure are your top ATS teams in college hoops. Switching over to racing. We're putting racing to bed until February right now. It's kind of a sad day. The Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix is in the books. Lando Norris takes it home. He leads all 58 laps in Dubai. And he clinches a constructor's title for McLaren. Now, if you're not familiar with the F1 circuit, they give out a constructor's title, which is the manufacturer that has the top points production of the season. And McLaren knocks off Red Bull for the first time in several years, as Red Bull had a dominating run. Max Verstappen, along with Sergio Perez, dominated for several years. Sergio Perez really, really was bad this year, like extremely bad. He finished dead last again with a crash this week. He may just be finished, and that really hurt Verstappen, who ended up winning last week, but he can't carry the torch alone. You got to have two cars competing. So congratulations, Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri. Oscar Piastri going to be a very good young driver. Lando Norris already good young. I thought Ferrari ended the season the best of anybody, and they get Lewis Hamilton coming over to Ferrari. So he makes a switch from Mercedes, and we'll see. We'll see what happens with Lewis. But lots of changing parts there going on in the F1, but that's good. It was a competitive year. We had drivers win. We had Lando Norris win. We had Carlos Sainz win. We had Charles Leclerc win. We had Lewis Hamilton win. We had George Russell win. We had Max Verstappen win. We had Oscar Piastri win. That's awesome. That is the first time in years that I can remember that many different drivers winning. So great stuff for the cars, great stuff for the drivers, and we'll switch some teams, but going to have a strong 24-25 season, I would expect, from the F1, or I guess it'll be the 25 season, because there really won't be any 24, because we'll be turned past 24 by the time that happens. So nonetheless, that puts it to bed for the season. Again, Verstappen wins the championship, Lando Norris and McLaren win the Constructors Championship. So a good year, and it's nice to see that two different sects won. So Red Bull maintained their driver championship, but they could not hang on in the constructor championship. And strides were made by all the teams, especially Mercedes and Ferrari and McLaren, who finally surpassed Red Bull. So should be a great, great 2025 season on the F1 circuit. We switched from F1 over to MLB, and what won't be a very pretty 25 season, as Juan Soto signs a record deal. He's making like $6,000 a minute. It's astronomical. You can look up the figures. It's just, it's mind-boggling. But it's not surprising at all. Like, if in comprehension-wise, like when you break it down, it's like, wow, how could anybody make this kind of money? But we saw this coming. I mean, we saw this coming back with Bryce Harper. And we talked about it on here many, many times. Like, there's no end in sight. Eventually, a guy's going to make $1 billion. Eventually, a guy's going to make $2 billion. It's just a matter of time. I don't know if anybody's ever going to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what, enough is enough. We're not paying anymore, and you know, we're not extending ourselves above, you know, $500 million. That's it. You can come here. $500 million is the most we're giving you. We're not giving you 15 years, which is ridiculous. I think it really hurts the sport, but you saw this coming, and it's inevitable, and the owners created it, and they pass on the expense to the fans, and it's not right. But the only way we stop is to not go to the games, and gambling has become a big part of this now, and I think people are a little bit more inclined to stay home now that they can gamble, because you can watch multiple things, and you got multiple action, and going to the game sometimes it takes away from you trying to find angles on other sporting events that you like, and obviously in play is kind of out of it. I mean, you can bet on the game that you're watching, but you don't have a whole lot of options for the other games. You don't have the multiple TVs set up or any of the build-your-own multi-screen features that you have on some of the cable systems. So I think that these owners might want to watch themselves a little bit, because if your product's not really, really good in person, people just aren't going to want to go. I can speak firsthand. I'm content to probably never go to a North American pro sporting event ever again in my entire life. I would probably go to racing. I would definitely still go to a NASCAR race, and I would definitely go to an F1 race in the States, and I hope to do that. I probably would even go to an MLS game, only, you know, if it was for Messi or some of the guys that I never got to see when they played world football abroad. But as far as the major sports, if you obviously NBA, I'd never step foot inside an NBA arena for any reason, for multiple reasons. Probably wouldn't go to a Major League Baseball game ever again, and I absolutely would never go to an NFL game. I like going to the ballpark, so there's a little bit of a sentimental value there, but if I never went again, I wasn't going to miss out on a whole lot. I'd still like to go to Fenway Park again. It's a really cool experience, and I would go to the Inner Harbor at Camden Yards, so I would go, but I'm not going to make a special trip to do it. Hockey, I would still go as well. If I was in a city, happened to be in Buffalo or something, and the Sabres were in town, I would go, because I like hockey. But there's never going to be a situation where you're going to find me going to Penguin games as much as I used to, or Pirate games, or any other game. It's just not going to happen. It's too expensive, and the product is not what it once was, and it's just something's just taken away from it. But Juan Soto, happy trails to you, and then the Yankees double down immediately. They take all the money they were going to give to Soto, and they give it to Max Fried, so they lock him up. And then you got the Pirates, who make a ridiculous, stupid trade that's unnecessary. They tell you a day ago Brian Reynolds is moving to first base, then they go out and acquire a first baseman who is not good, who will not make an impact, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. When you hear someone tell you the Pirates, boy, they're really having a quiet, good offseason. No, they're not. They're not having a quiet, good offseason. The only way that the Pirates' offseason gets any good at all is go out and sign Teoscar Hernandez. Go out and make a splash with a real player. Don't go get Anthony Rizzo, which they probably won't do now because they got this other clown coming in. But this organization is a joke. You're moving your all-star outfielder to infield, and you're moving your once-in-a-generational talented shortstop to outfield. Now tell me, how many franchises have ever done that when it wasn't forced by the guy having injury or something? There's been situations where very good catchers, just their bodies couldn't hold up and they had to move to first base or outfield. Totally understandable. But not this. I mean, then they just completely give up on these guys immediately. And Brian Reynolds' defense didn't cost them any wins last year. This is a really stupid franchise. And if you're dumb enough to believe it, I'm sorry. And I feel sorry for you. We'll talk more about that in length on the Pine Room Radio Show on the Watchdog Network each and every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. But this stuff fires me up. I'm tired of hearing about the Pirates doing things right. Paul Skeens has to have a counter in his house, on his phone, at Livy Dunn's house, everywhere he goes, that just counts down the days when he can leave this mess. They're a joke. They're never going to win. And I don't really care what anybody says. I'm right about this. They suck. And they're never going to be good. And Derek Shelton is down there at the winter meetings trying to tell you that lineup that they had was good last year. And they just need a couple of more pieces and some more depth. And then they're going to be a contender. It's a joke. You got the best pitcher in baseball. You've done nothing to help him. You've done nothing to help him. And you're not going to do anything. Because all the good free agents are going to be gone here in the next week to 10 days. And then you're going to be left around grabbing this year's Rowdy Tellez. So good luck to you, Pirate fans. If you're like me, you're so bitter and so pissed off that you don't even want to root for him. You almost root for him to lose. That's how mad you are. But enough is enough. Enough baseball talk. A Soto to the Mets. And he'll do well there, but they probably won't win a World Series. And now you got all the losers scrambling to try to get the Japanese guy and some of the other hot pieces. But we'll see. Dodgers still the team to beat, plus 350-ish, I think. And then 750 on the Mets. They are now the second choice. So you got the top two choices in the betting markets, both from the National League. I'd probably sign up for a NLCS of the Dodgers and the Mets. I think that would be decent once again. So we'll see. Long way to go, but it won't be long, really, until pitchers and catchers report. You got about 2 months. And then we get to talk about how great the Pirates pitching staff is. And they just traded away Ortiz, who was actually a pretty decent piece that I thought maybe they could have got a lot more from somebody than what they got. But enough baseball. We're going to talk football after the break. It's not the Pine Room on the Watchdog. Boy, been a long week already, and it's only the middle of the week. It's Better's Last Stand. That's the show we're doing. 112, Better's Last Stand, episode 112. We're going to be back after a quick break, and we will dive into all forms of football. It will be the round football, the pigskin football, all the misshaped footballs, North America, all over the world after this. It's the Pine Room on the Watchdog. And I did it again. Boy, that's really bad. It's Better's Last Stand. Not on the Watchdog yet. We're going to be on the Watchdog in the next segment. Man, I need a break. It is Better's Last Stand, show number 112. We'll take a quick break. Be right back talking football.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 112, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling on a blustery early winter's day here. It's actually late fall, but it's feeling like winter out there, and we're making the switch over from football to basketball here on the Watchdog Network. Following our show today, Better's Last Stand, of course. Following our show, we got a triple header of hoops action on WatchdogNetwork.com is the place where you're going to want to find it. It's the Sam Andy Classic going on down at West Banco Arena this evening. Should be three really good games. 4 o'clock coming up right after us. It will be the Wheeling Park High School girls taking on the Martins Ferry girls. You've heard both these teams on the Watchdog already to this point, as we had Ferry and Wheeling Central in action last week in a good game that Central was able to pull away. And then last Friday, it was Wheeling Park taking down Spring Mills in their opener up at the Palace on the Hill. Coach and Jarrett were on the call for that one. Coach and Super on the call for the Central and Martins Ferry girls. So Martins Ferry girls back in action. Wheeling Park girls back in action. 4 o'clock over West Banco Arena. Soup will be on the call. It's the Sam Andy Classic. Follows us here on Better's Last Stand. Watchdog Networks, where you're going to want to be. 6 o'clock game. It will be boys hoops action. Wheeling Central takes on powerhouse Monroe Central. Monroe Central's played a few games already. I believe they're 3-0. Wheeling Central yet to tip it off for their 2024-25 season. But we should look forward to that one. Should be two pretty good teams in action there at 6 o'clock over at West Bank Arena. And then at 8 o'clock, the nightcap, it's Wheeling Park hosting Brook. It will be the Brook Bruins on the road at Wheeling Park. At West Bank Arena, of course, because this is a Sam Andy Classic. But they're on the road in Wheeling. So we'll see what happens there. So again, triple header following us here. Better's Last Stand, show 112. It will be Wheeling Park and Martins Ferry at 4 o'clock. Wheeling Central boys and Monroe Central boys at 6 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock is the Wheeling Park boys against Brook. That first game, 4 o'clock game, is Wheeling Park girls in Martins Ferry. We got Cameron in the state title game against Wahama. That actually probably ending right about now, so let's go Dragons. And then we have the Browns and the Chiefs, 1 o'clock on Sunday right here on the Watchdog, along with Bethune-Cookman and WVU tomorrow at 5 o'clock here on the Watchdog. WVU basketball back in action. So we're making the switch over from football, all football, to pretty much a transition into full-scale basketball. So we'll keep you apprised on the weekly Watchdog Pine Room radio show Monday, Tuesday, and Friday about the games that we have coming up, and should be a good one. So check your watchdognetwork.com. Check at the Pine Room Studios. Follow everything you need to find there, and we'll keep you apprised of what's going on. This is Better's Last Stand, show number 112, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studio, getting you ready for the Sam Andy Classic here on the Watchdog Network this evening. The triple header comes your way after us. Let's recap what we did last week. We were up 10.3 units. Not a great week by any means, but it's better than losing. College football, we were 10-6. We had the outright win with Georgia. Of course, we had them plus the points as well, so pretty good there. 6-9 in the NFL. Oh, boy, some really bad plays in the NFL. But we also had some other ones that could have really come through and didn't happen. Giants, they did cover, but they didn't get it done on the money line. A couple other ones that were tough. So not a great week of the NFL. EPL, we continue to stay hot there. 7-3 last week, 19-7 over the last 3 weeks. We're 3-4 so far in the Champions League match day 6. We got about 7 pending bets as we're on the air right now. So we're sweating some of these out throughout the show. So if I react and start screaming, you'll know why. College football futures, I said that last week. We were 8-11, not good enough. Got to get better there. But NFL, boy, we've been very good there. 12-2 now. We cashed 4 more this past week. So 12-2 on our NFL season-long futures. So that's something that we should be pretty proud of. All right, before we get into football, I forgot to do this in the first segment. We're going to talk a little bit of hockey here. Don't do that a whole lot on this portion of the program. But we usually recap you with the NHL period data. Very, very strong trends in these markets, and you can find some really good value there. So NHL period data, here you go. First period overs. These are over 1.5 goals. This is the teams, combined teams have to score 2 goals in the period to get it over. It's usually 1.5 is the posted number, juiced usually to the over these days. First period overs, Washington 20-7, and they're on a 7-3 run to the over in the first period. Florida Panthers 19-9, also a 7-3 run to the first period over. Colorado Avalanche 19-10 to the over in the first period and on a 7-3 run. Second period overs, the Florida Panthers again 24-4 and an 8-2 run in their last 10. Columbus Blue Jackets 20-7 to the over in the second period, an 8-2 run for them in second period overs. And the Utah, whatever the heck they're going to be called, they don't have a name yet. The Utah hockey team 19-8 and a 9-1 run for them. Third period overs, the Montreal Canadiens 24-3. To the third period overs, 1.5 goals in 9-1. These aren't the individual team scores over 1.5. These are both teams combined. So Montreal 24-3 to the over in the third period. They're on a 9-1 run, 90% there. CBJ, Columbus Blue Jackets 23-4 to the third period over. They're also on a 9-1 run in third period over. So 9 of their last 10 games have went over the total in the third period. The Ottawa Senators 22-5 on the season in the third period overs. 10 for their last 10 over in the third period. And then, of course, our Wheeling Nailers, ECHL, their first place in the North Division, 31 points. They're at Reading this weekend for a pair. Nailers now adjusted to be the favorites in the Northern Division, along with Adirondack and Trois-Rivières and Norfolk. Those are your 3 or 4 contenders there. So great start to the season for the Nailers. All right, bad beats. Let's go through these. College football playoff rankings, we'll talk about those, how I think that there's no way they got their 12 best teams. If that was what they were trying to do, that they failed miserably. And then the Dallas Cowboys, we had it here. That was one of the reasons why we were 6-9 in the NFL. We had Dallas money line. We had Dallas plus the points. It all came apart. They block a punt. They're going to be in great position to win the game. Oh, no. They got a guy that doesn't know the rules. He tries to field the punt, and guess what? The Bengals recover it. Bengals march down the rest of the field and easily score to win the game and cover. And really not indicative of who should have won that game, but you know, Dallas continues to shoot themselves in the foot. So if you had that one, if you tailed us there, it was a tough one. That's a really tough one to swallow. You make the play on special teams, you're going to win the game, and you blow it on your home turf. Another team that blew it. This time it wasn't at home. This was at Leicester City. This was, can't remember if this game was Saturday or Sunday morning. My days blend together. But Brighton. We had Brighton, one of our 3 losses in EPL. We were 7-3. Brighton was one of our 3 losses. Wonder why? Well, they were leading 2-0 in the 87th minute. Now, they only play 90 minutes. Remember that. So you had to go three more minutes plus a little bit of stoppage time. Well, guess what? Leicester City scores two times. Jamie Vardy scores, and then a debacle at the end in stoppage time. Seagulls surrender another goal, and it ends up being 2-2. They're actually lucky they didn't get beat. But they had numerous chances to close that game out on some free kicks at the top of the box. They had a couple of slam dunk put away transition opportunities that they did not convert. And that's your downfall. If you do not cash, you're inevitably going to give it back up. And the momentum can swing very, very quickly. Industry news and notes. A Senate Judiciary Committee, that's the United States Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, has been set for next Tuesday. The titles of this: America's High Stakes Bet on Legalized Sports and Gambling. So I don't know what these senators are going to discuss. Dick Durbin from Illinois, I believe, is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Not a big fan of his. I think he's a bozo and an idiot, but that would be expected from most politicians. So, wow, what a game this is. Barcelona now, since we've been on the air, Barcelona was up 1-0, then it was tied 1-1, then Borussia Dortmund trailed 2-1, Barcelona tied it up, Dortmund just tied it at 2, and now Barcelona just took a 3-2 lead. And we have Dortmund, of course. But the Judiciary Committee will meet next week. I'm anxious to see how they're going to meddle in our industry and try to tell us what to do when they have no idea what any of it is. Hopefully they have some bookmakers come there on Capitol Hill and actually educate them a little bit, because they really, really desperately need that, as do many other jurisdictions. FanDuel announces new responsible gambling dashboard, that is. It's called My Spend. It allows you to see your spending, your deposits, your winnings in an easier way. So they're trying to cut down on people that are losing their homes, I guess, and not being able to feed their kids. All jokes aside, wager responsibly. You hear it in the commercial here on Bettors Last Stand. This is for amusement only. Don't go crazy. Have a little fun. Win some money, but don't get crazy with it. Late drama in the if you saw this bet last week, major drama. A player wagered $3.1 million on the Eagles money line against the Carolina Panthers for Sunday's game at Circa Sports, and they nearly lost. They nearly lost. Carolina has a chance to win the game. A guy drops a ball down on the actually would have rolled in the end zone and scored, but tough one there. If you were that guy, hopefully you survived it. But you should never be betting with that big of a favorite. You know, you got a 13, 14-point favorite. Betting the money line to win a couple grand is a stupid idea for a guy that made $3.1 million. You got to wonder how he got his money. Probably wasn't by using his brain. NFL best bets, here we go, are the teams that are best against the spread, that is. Denver, 10-3. Pittsburgh, 10-3. The Chargers, 9-4. Detroit Lions, 9-4. Washington Redskins, 8-4-1. Minnesota Vikings, 8-4. The worst team, ATS, in the NFL, the lowly Tennessee Titans, 2-11 on the season for them. Dallas now 1-6 straight up and 1-6 ATS at home. The only game they covered was Thanksgiving Day against the Giants, who are actually even worse than them, if you can believe it. So not good for Dallas. Really, really bad way to lose. NFL favorites now 143-62 straight up on the season, 101-98-6 ATS on the year. NFL home teams 105-97 straight up, 106-90-6, that is, ATS. NFL overs 107-97-3. So not a whole lot of variation here. You're seeing home field advantage is not nearly as important as it once was, because a lot of these fields are exactly the same. They all have the same kind of turf. You don't have as many grass fields and those kinds of things. A lot of stadiums don't even have wind as a factor anymore because the roofs close. And yeah, so you're starting to see that home field advantage is not a simple 3 points like it used to be when you would make spreads. Carolina Panthers, they begin the week a -1.5 point favorite against Dallas. Yeah, how about this? We told you last week, 33 straight games they went being a dog. If they close as a favorite, it will be the first time in 33 games that the Panthers are favored in a game. So we'll see what happens there. Lopsided ticket counts from the NFL last week. These are the results. 83% were on the Bills. They lost outright. -4.5 at the Rams. We had that one right here on Bettors Last Stand. We had the right side. That was the Rams. 70% on the Bears plus the 4. That a loser as well. And we were against the Bears last week. Had the 49ers. 70% on the Bengals -5.5. We just talked about that fiasco. Probably not indicative of how that should have went. Probably should have been Dallas there, and we would have had another cover, but it didn't work out. Saints -5, 67% of tickets on them. That was a loser. 66% on the Steelers, -6.5. That was a little tighter than people think. It was a winner, but it was a little tight. And then 66% on the Dolphins, -6. Depends on what you got that number at. It went off, I think, at 5.5. There were some 6.5s out there earlier in the week. So they won by 6 in overtime. Very lucky. So you could have got a push, a loss, or a win from that ticket. Lopsided tickets for this week. Here we go again. Bengals -5. Just amazing to me. 86% of tickets on the Bengals -5. Prior to last week, they had been on a terrible run of not covering, and they still haven't beaten really anybody good. If you consider the teams they've beaten, Dallas is the best team. So you're nuts if you keep doing that. 78% on the Broncos -4. That's crazy how that one's worked out. 71% on the Steelers +5 at Philly. 71% on the Ravens -14.5. I think that might even be higher now. 68% on the Jets -3. 68% on Arizona -5.5. When are we going to learn about the Jets too? Why are people lining up to bet the Jets every week? 67% on the Minnesota Vikings -6.5. All right, college. Let's recap these ones. So last week's college football title games, the ticket results looked like this. Oh, my. Is that a goal for AC Milan with a late goal against Red Star Belgrade? Ooh, that could be a big one for us there. College football title week tickets, here we go. 93% were on Oregon, -3.5. That one a winner. But they had to work for that. Penn State, I thought, at times was a better team in that game. Disappointing. 75% of tickets on Texas. We told you that one seemed off to me. They were laying 2.5 against a better Georgia team who already beat them once, and it was a de facto home game for Georgia. Georgia wins it in overtime, so that was a loser. 83% on Arizona State. We were on this one. -1.5 against Iowa State. They rout the Cyclones. 86% on Tulane. -4.5 against Army. No good with Tulane. 68% on Marshall. +6. That one was good. 75% on SMU. -2.5. No good. They lose to Clemson on a late field goal. And 67% on Jacksonville State. That one a cigar-smoking winner on Friday night as Rich Rod gets the W there. All right, let's switch it over to soccer here, and then we'll get back to the football that everybody comes to this show to listen to. I also want to shout out our friends at the Cave Club that listen each and every Friday. It came to my attention that we have some guys down at the Cave Club that like to tune into Bettors Last Stand. So thanks for listening, fellas, and hopefully we found you some winners. And if you have anything you'd like to see us add to the show, at Pine Room Studios on social media, or if you prefer the old-fashioned way, pineroomstudios.com. You can find the email on there. Shoot us a message. Let us know what other kind of content you want us to talk about here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 112, as we get you ready for the Sam Andy Classic. That's right, basketball action tonight on the Watchdog Network, a triple header of action. It's the Wheelie Park Girls in action against Martins Ferry at 4 o'clock, directly following us. Then it will be the Wheeling Central Boys taking on Monroe Central. And then the nightcap, it's the Wheeling Park Patriot Boys taking on the Brook Bruins. You can hear all those games. WatchdogNetwork.com. Soup will be on the call from West Banco Arena. Okay, so UEFA Champions League, we're sweating out some of these match day 6 results. We'll see what happens there. But we got EPL to focus on. So we don't have Champions League back until, I believe, January 21st. So they go on the holiday break here. And then we're full-scale Champions League pretty much all the way through spring, which is great. Every single 2 weeks we have a round of games. So greatly looking forward to that one. I think we have 2 more rounds of games left, I think, if that's how they do it. Maybe 2 or 3 more. So we're getting down to the end there. And then it starts to come into the double-legged elimination stuff. So, but we're focusing now on the EPL. We got games on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday this week. We'll start off at Fulham and Liverpool. It'll be Liverpool -325, +750 on Fulham. The draw, about $5 on the draw. It's not bad. Fulham with a nice draw last week in a London derby. Can they do it again? I don't think so. This is going to be really tricky. They're going to be at Anfield. I think both teams to score is the way to go here. Liverpool has just been incredible. They've got 7 straight times they've played Fulham. They've got points. Most of those are wins. They've won the last 4 in the series. But I think both teams to score, to me, seems like a feasible thing there, so we'll go with that one. Ipswich and Wolves, 10 a.m. Saturday morning. Wolves -115, +290 on Ipswich. I lean Wolves in this game. Both these teams have been playing really bad. Ipswich winless in four straight. Wolves has lost three straight overall. Five of the last six in this series have had one goal or less. There's been some 0-0 draws in here. So a lean to the under and a lean to Wolves there, but no official play on that one. Leicester and Newcastle. Newcastle -335, +75 on Leicester. Leicester, who haunted us last week, 475 on the draw there. The last two in this series have went under the total. Newcastle winless in their last four overall. I think they get back into the win column here at home. They've played decently. They just can't finish out games. And Leicester, one win in their last eight. They drew last week. They're going to be very happy about that, but I don't think they're going to be happy about this trip to Newcastle. It's not going to be fun for them. We'll go Newcastle on the Asian handicap -1.25, where you can go a little higher. Choose your price on that one. Everton at Arsenal. Arsenal -425, +1,075 on Everton right there as Arsenal gets ready to take down Monaco. It's a 3-0 Arsenal lead late there. Arsenal starting to get their mojo back a little bit, and I think that's just about the right time for them because they needed it because they were really, really struggling. They've won their last three in the series against Everton. That's not really going to make anybody say, wow, Everton's really not been very good. But I think that this is a game where Arsenal will probably win the game, but I like the game under. I think that Arsenal, they're gonna put up a good defense here. I think they keep this very businesslike, win the game 2-0, maybe even 3-0. You can get 3.5 out there. So we'll go under Everton and Arsenal on Saturday morning. 12:30 p.m. kick on Saturday afternoon. It'll be Aston Villa at Nottingham Forest. Villa +175. They're a small dog here in Forest, +165. Small favorite, 225 on the draw. BTTS is what we'll go here. Both teams to score. I think there'll be some goals here. Both these teams have played decently lately. Aston Villa, nice win yesterday in Europe. They scored some goals there. Nottingham Forest been scoring a little bit more. Home teams won the last three in this matchup. So maybe a small lean to Forest. That's why they're favored. Sunday's match is 9 a.m. It will be Crystal Palace at Brighton. We had Brighton last week. They're -110 this week. +280 on Palace. The draw around +280. You can find some +290s out there. Four of the last six in this contest have been draws. So maybe Crystal Palace is drew Manchester City. I don't know. I think both teams score here. I think it's at least 1-1. Very good chance it could be a draw. So maybe play the draw and both teams to score. Manchester United and Manchester City. The Manchester Derby. It'll be City -180. United +$4 here. The draw +380. The last eight in this series have went over the total, and they've went over easily. So I like over the three here. I think there'll be goals. Both these teams right now, kind of a mess. City came back to reality a little bit. They won a match, and then they drew a match. And they're playing a little bit better, but they're still surrendering. And Manchester United, they got a new manager now, but wow, they're all over the place, messed up. So I think both teams play wildly aggressive here. Maybe the bookings, too. I think that both these teams are going to be desperate to win this to keep their fans happy. City obviously has a little bit more leeway, seeing they win titles every year. But Manchester United, oof, they really need a good performance here. So we'll see what they can do. I like the over the three, and perhaps you may even want to go adjusted number there and go like over four and maybe a draw. Brentford at Chelsea, London Derby. Brentford +670, Chelsea -$3, $2.95 in most spots right now. The draw +470. Brentford plays outstanding in these London derbies. Now, they are on the road here. They have not been as good on the road. But these London derbies, Brentford is good to score a goal almost every one of these. So both teams to score, good value on that one. The home team The home team has not won in this matchup in the last seven. So that would say Brentford is the side. Chelsea's my team. I'm wearing the shirt right now. But I would lean Brentford in this game. I would do a Brentford draw, no bet. And I would definitely play Brentford to score at least one goal, maybe even two goals in this game. They are a very, very exciting team to watch, and they give their fellow Londoners quite a bit of headaches throughout the last few years. Tottenham and Southampton. Southampton +325. Tottenham favored here -140, +335 on the draw. And Tottenham has not played very well. They're up and down and up and down and up and down. Southampton winless in five overall. We have them to be relegated. We think they will be. Six of the last seven are over in this one. So I like the over here. You find some 2.5s out there, and I saw some threes. So get on that before it gets to 3.5. Tottenham and Southampton over, and I also think both teams will score. Both teams have scored 8 straight times in this matchup. So BTTS, Spurs and Southampton, and then Monday Night Football. It'll be West Ham at Bournemouth. Bournemouth minus 135. How about that? Plus 335 on West Ham. You never would have thought those numbers would be this. You'd think those were inverted at the beginning of the season. Draw plus 310. I think a draw could be in the cards a little bit here, but I like both teams to score once again. And I lean Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth, they've won 3 straight overall, are playing pretty good. And West Ham has not looked good. They've looked very bad. They've lost 4 out of 7, and they have not been impressive at all. So Bournemouth is a tough place to go and play, and I think this will be a tricky night for West Ham. But I think maybe a draw, maybe a 1-1 draw on both teams' score. So that's what we got in the EPL. Our Champions League matches are starting to wind down now here on match day number 6. We'll recap those next week. Hopefully we have a few more winners. I know we got one good winner there with Juventus, a nice plus price winner right there. So Juventus getting the job done with an impressive victory today in Champions League action. And, you know, whenever you can beat Manchester City on their home turf, I think that is a good sign for you. All right, let's jump into the NFL, everybody's favorite thing, the NFL. Except for me, week 15 is already here. These teams, there's a lot of bad teams. There's a lot of teams that are struggling. There's a lot of teams that are probably ready to shut people down for the year. And I don't blame them, because it's really, I can't wait till this stuff's over. It's tough to watch, tough to have to follow, tough to deal with. Doesn't do a whole lot. For me, anyway, Dallas at Carolina. The first game will start with 1 o'clock on Sunday. It'll be Carolina minus 2. The total, 43 in this game. Dallas off a terrible Monday night football performance, at least at the end. They were in that game, had a very good chance to win. Carolina playing a lot better, took the Eagles to the wire. We did have them, and they nearly won the game outright. Carolina's had 13 sacks in their last 3 games. That's pretty good. Dallas opened minus 2. Now it's Carolina minus 2, as we talked about, 33 straight games. Carolina's been a dog of the NFL. Maybe not here. I lean Dallas here, and I like the over in this game. I think both teams' offenses looking like they're improving quite a bit. I think Bryce Young, lots of confidence, and same thing with Dallas. I think Cooper Rush has played well. Rico Dowdle's ran the ball well. So I like over 43 quite a bit here and lean towards Dallas at Carolina. Jets at Jaguars. Again, I don't get the Jets, why that people line up to bet them. They're 3.5-point road favorites. Jags off a big win last week over the equally as horrible Titans. 40.5 is the total. Jets on a 1-8-1 ATS run. Can't bet them, but I can't bet Jacksonville either off of a win. So it's under or pass for me in this game. Small lean to the under, but I don't love it. Anything else in that game, yikes. Yeah, that's like gag me, vomit type stuff. Miami at Houston, the Dolphins and Texans. Texans minus 3 off the bye week, total 47. I'm hearing some good things out of Texans camp right now. A little bit of a reset for them. They played a lot of football. Training camp started early for them, so maybe they clean up a few of their mistakes. Miami on the road, I don't trust them. We'll go with Houston minus 3 at home. Kansas City at Cleveland. It'll be Kansas City minus 4.5. The total 45 in this game. It opened KC minus 5.5 down to 4. People are finally learning. Stop betting the Chiefs to cover, because they're just not a covering team. They're a winning team that is not a covering team. 0-7 their last 7 ATS. I like the under in this game of 45. Chiefs defense travels pretty well. I think they'll be good. Mahomes will make just enough plays to win this game, and Maybe the Browns could perhaps pull the upset. They've already beat the Ravens and the Steelers, so why couldn't they beat the Chiefs? But I like the under 45 and that one up at Cleveland, Washington. You can hear that game, by the way, right here on the Watchdog. That will be 1 o'clock kick, Browns and Chiefs, right here, watchdognetwork.com. The Washington Redskins at the New Orleans Saints. Be the Redskins minus 7, total 43 in this game. Skins off a bye. 47 was the total. It's down to 43 now. Looks like Derek Carr will not play. That's why the total has went down 4 points. I would lean Washington here. Don't love it. Hard to lay 7 on the road, but New Orleans is really bad. I think Washington is pretty good at blowing out the bad teams. So we talked about that before, where they're good covering spreads against a really bad team. So we'll go with the Skins. I think they got a shot there, and I like the under 43. Not sure the Saints will score much at all. Cincinnati at Tennessee. Once again, can't believe I'm saying it. Bengals minus 5 on the road. They've laid more points on the road than good teams do. They've laid more points on the road than the Bills. Like, it's not even, it's unfathomable to me. Anyway, minus 5, 47 is the total. We had another winner last week if Dallas knows the rules. So we'll take advantage of it here. 49 was the total, down to 47, actually down to 46.5. We'll be on the Titans here. Titans are good enough to give the Bengals problems. I know the Titans aren't very good, but neither are the Bengals. So take the 5 at home with the Titans off of a very, very disappointing loss to Jacksonville last week. That should be a good bounce spot. Bengals lucked out at Dallas. They won't do that again. Baltimore at the Giants, now up to 16.5 here in an NFL game. This is going to be the biggest spread possibly ever in the history of the NFL since they started tracking these on all these ATS sites. Over 43.5 is where I'm going here. I like this game. I think there'll be points. I think Cutlets might get a few lucky plays. He might just whip it up the neighbors. Ravens defense has improved a little bit in recent weeks, but I don't know. This is a team like Lamar Jackson just usually does pretty good against these AFC or these NFC teams. He's been really, really sharp. But I will say this: this is a bad trend here. Listen up here. The Ravens are just 2-10 ATS when in their last 12 games. 2-10 ATS, their last 12 when they're laying more than 7 points. So not good as a favorite, contrary to what you might think. Also think playing the Ravens team total over might be worth it here as well. But 16.5, my goodness, that's a lot of points in the pro game. New England at Arizona. It'll be Arizona -5. The total 46. This thing opened Arizona -7, down to 5. Now back up to 6 in some spots. I like the under 46 here. New England's defense pretty good. New England's offense did move the ball pretty well. But I think both teams will struggle in the red zone here and lead to some field goals. So we'll go with the under the 46. But New England, a team that's improving. Arizona's kind of hit a little bit of a lull. We'll see if they can bounce back here. But I'm not laying 6 or 7 with them against anyone. Buffalo at Detroit. Buffalo off of a shootout loss to the Rams. Detroit off of a good win over the Packers. It'll be the Lions -2. Total 54.5. An open 51.5 is already up 3 points. I can't talk anybody off of the over here. Both these teams can score. Bills have some issues on defense. Lions, little bit of an issue on defense. They play high scoring games in at Ford Field. And the Lions are 7-2 ATS against the AFC since last year. So a small lean to the Bills, my gut says. Bills bouncing off of a loss last week, and maybe the Lions are due to hit a bad patch. So if this would get to threesome, I don't think it will. But I would take a shot with Buffalo. I may take a shot with Buffalo on the money line, but I do like the over 54.5. That's getting pretty high, though. But we think both these teams will score. That is for sure. Colts at Broncos. Broncos -4, total 44. Open -5.5 for Denver. Now down to -4. This is a tricky game. I've not been a Denver guy, but I got to give them a little bit of credit. They've beaten all the teams that they're supposed to beat. They don't really have any impressive wins, but they have beaten the teams they're supposed to beat. They're supposed to win this game. They got a last-place schedule for a reason. Indianapolis on the road, I don't know, but I have no official play here. I can't trust Anthony Richardson, and I still can't trust Bo Nix, contrary to people telling me that he's really good. I'm not seeing that. Chargers -3 at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, total 46. Open 47.5 is actually down to 45.5 a little bit, so a 2-point drop there. I like the Chargers. I think they bounce back. They played well enough to beat the Chiefs the other night. Just can't get the offense going. They don't have any playmakers. This team starts to get some players on offense, they're going to be really good. I would look for the Chargers right now. If you could find early early future lines for next year, I would take a peek at the Chargers in the AFC West and win the AFC. Everybody's saying Denver's the hot team. Chargers are much better than Denver, and they're only a couple pieces away from being really, really good, and they got a really good coach. So I'm all in on the Chargers next year, and they're not quite there yet. They got to get a couple. They got to get at least 2 more guys on offense to be to be elite talent on offense as far as playmakers go. But they're right there. But I like them in this game. I like a -3. Tampa sputtering a little bit, maybe the over here, but Chargers defense is too good to play over. So we'll just go with the Chargers -3 at home. The Steelers at the Eagles. Eagles -5, total 42.5. How about this stat? 8-2 the Eagles are in non-NFC home games. So that's a strong stat for the Eagles. But on the other side of that, Pittsburgh Steelers 8-2 to the under versus teams over 666 win percentage. So that's an interesting one. So you got 2 little trends there. Both of them, one of them not really favoring Pittsburgh, but it favors the under in a Pittsburgh game. And then the other one says the Eagles. My gut feeling in this game, says that the Steelers are going to win it. Now, Pickens being out is a huge, huge loss, so I'm a little bit worried about playing him on the money line now. I probably will take him plus the 5. If it gets to 6, I'm definitely taking him. I think the Steelers, this is a game, they did not play very well last week, and the Eagles got some internal issues. I've said that for weeks, and they've been winning masks a lot of problems. Well, even winning's not masking their problems because they got A.J. Brown mounted at the quarterback. Sirianni's a ticking time bomb. Things could go bad for this team in a hurry. I like the Steelers. I think they're a more professional team. I think they have the better quarterback. They have the better coach. I think they'll travel well and play well in this game. I think they'll hang around. Without Pickens is a big loss, though, because defensively it lets you do a lot more things now. We don't have to worry about him out there. So I'm going to lean Steelers, and I'm going to go under the 42.5. This thing opened 45.5, all the way down to 42.5, thinking that Pickens may affect the line a little bit. Steelers seem to be an over team to me, but the Eagles seem to be an under team. So I think the Steeler defense will know that this is a game like last week and like the game against Cincinnati that they are going to have to win. And I think they do. I think they caused some problems for Jalen Hurts and probably keep this game close and low scoring. Green Bay at Seattle, the nightcap. It'll be Green Bay -3 on the road. I don't understand this at all. 46.5. I've not been high on the Packers all year. I think they're vastly overrated. I wouldn't trust them against anybody. Yes, they can play good once in a while, but I don't like Jordan Love. Their receivers are too inconsistent. They got some talent, but I never know who's going to play well for them. Running game's been awesome. Josh Jacobs, he could be in the MVP conversation if you ask me. That guy can really play. So if they stick to running the ball, I think they'll have a shot of winning this game, but I'm not laying 3 on the road. Seattle off a nice win on the road, so I really wouldn't want to play them either. And the spot, to me, is better for Green Bay, but laying, I just don't know. I just don't trust Jordan Love. And so that's why I'm going to go under the total, 46.5. I think both teams play decent on defense. Slow the other one down. Both teams want to get the running game going. Churn the clock. We'll go under 46.5. Two Monday Night Football games again. Be the Bears at the Vikings. Vikings -7 now. Opened at 5.5. Now up to 7. The total 44. I like the under here. Bears have packed it in. Doesn't matter who the coach is. They're not even trying. They won't score many points, if anything, here. Although I will say, Minnesota's defense has not played well the last few weeks. Giving up a lot of sloppy big plays. Too many of them last week, but I'll go under, take another shot with Brian Flores to get that fixed. 44.5 will go under there. And then Atlanta at Las Vegas. It'll be the Falcons. How in the world are the Falcons land 4.5 on the road? Total 44. No chance in the world I'm taking the Falcons. They're a masterful mess, and they are in trouble here. I think the Raiders get in the win column here. So we'll go Raiders, lean to the money line, but I'll take the 4.5 at home for the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, let's shift over to college here, but let's remind you, you're listening to Bettors Last Stand, show number 112 here on the Watchdog Network, WKKX, WVOY, getting you ready for high school basketball action right here on the Watchdog Network and hear it on the stream. It will be from West Banco Arena. It's the Sam Andy Classic going on this evening. We got games at 4, 6, and 8 o'clock. 4 o'clock time slot will be the Wheeling Park Girls in action against the Martins Ferry Purple Rider Girls. The middle game, 6 o'clock tip-off. Wheeling Central takes on Monroe Central in what should be a really good Ohio Valley matchup. Two really, really good boys basketball teams. And then a nightcap. It will be Sam Andy's team, Wheeling Park, taking on the Brook Bruins in a rivalry matchup there. All those games over on WatchdogNetwork.com, and you can see them over at West Banco Arena should you choose to venture out into the cold on this Friday evening. Hopefully you have a nice warm fire and have a few drinks and you can listen to the game right here on the Watchdog Network. All right, let's get into college football action. We got just a couple things to touch on, then we'll get into the playoff, and then we'll get into the a couple of the bowl games. I'm not going to go through the entire bowl card this week because, you know, there's so many moving parts here to these bowl games. You have the issue with the transfer portal. You have coaches leaving. There's a lot. There's the opt-outs for the NFL draft. You have so many different things that are going on here, and you really have to do your homework before you press confirm on your bet, because if you don't, you could get stuck in a situation where you're on the wrong side and you have to scramble to get off of it when there's a mass exodus of some kind. But let's start with Army-Navy. Talked about this way, way, way back, like week 5 or 6, that I said if you can find the Army-Navy game total up right now, and it's less than 40, you got to push play. Now, a lot of things have changed since then. Both these teams have kind of been, well, Army played very well last week, but had kind of been trending downward a little bit, I would say. Not that they're playing bad, but Navy especially kind of seemed like they hit a wall. But I think there's a little bit of value on this over the total right now. This thing's down to 38 now. It opened at around 40, 41 I even saw, a couple 40 and a halves. All the way down to 38 now. Could keep falling. People are giving this out as another under, like the death taxes and Army Navy under. It's the three things that you can guarantee on in life other than professional wrestling, roller derby, and Walter Cronkite. Those are the only three things that are real in life. Well, the other three things that are real are death, taxes, and Army Navy under. But I'm going against the trend here. I've said it all season long. I think these teams, both these offenses, can have big playability that they have not had in a while. I probably think Army wins this game, but I would not rule Navy out of a backdoor cover. I think it stays close, and I think there's some big plays in this game. So I'm going to go over. I know that's an uncommon synopsis or perspective outlook on the game, but I think there's points. I think there's points, and I think you'll get over 40 here. So if it keeps going down, play the over in Army-Navy from Northwest Stadium, formerly FedEx Field, in Landover, Maryland, on Saturday afternoon. And the FCS playoffs, we got those going. They start Friday night. Montana State hosts Idaho. Montana State minus 10.5. That's up to 12.5 now. These line moves in FCS, pretty good. All the line moves got there last week. I'm going to go with Montana State minus the 12.5 on Friday. So play that one before it gets up to 13. You want to get that before it gets up to 13 or 14. Absolutely. If it goes past 14, I'd play at 14 even. If it goes to 14.5, I wouldn't play it. South Dakota State on Incarnate Word, a noon kick on Saturday. South Dakota State opened 16.5, now up to 18.5. We had Incarnate Word last week. They had a two-point move. They got the job done. I'll be very leery here. Incarnate Word, pretty good team, but they're coming up against the Jackrabbits. This could be big problems for them. So I'll lay the 18.5 here with South Dakota on Saturday afternoon. And then another game, 3:30 on Saturday afternoon, will be the Mercer Bears against the North Dakota State Bison, the powerhouse Bison. This thing opened 18. It's up to 20. Play it before it gets to 21, but we'll go with North Dakota State. These teams, they're cut above everybody else in FCS. So couple ones there. Again, all these plays, as always, posted at BLS_PRP on X. You can find them here. These and some other ones that we add on or that are time sensitive, those you can find those on our site anytime you want. If you want to listen to the full version of Better's Last Stand, check us out, pineroomstudios.com. You can hear the latest episodes of all the Pine Room Studios shows, any which one you want, as well as our YouTube page at the Pine Room Studios. Follow us on social media at the Pine Room Studios. College football playoff. Everybody's been waiting for this, and I got to say, I was at least a little intrigued about how this was going to go down and where people were going to slot in. But one thing that we've been talking about on this show for the last few weeks is that the rankings and the way that they have the teams slotted were just very out of whack. You don't have the 12 best teams. It's not possible. When you're putting in automatic bids and things like that. And I understand some of that stuff was agreed upon, but the other things were decided upon by the committee. I thought overall, if I was going to grade this committee, a lot of people were giving them a B, maybe an A, maybe a C. I might give them a D+ or a C-. I don't think they completely messed it up because I think they got the first two seeds absolutely right in Oregon and Georgia. That's how you had to seed them. And Oregon being one, Georgia being two, that's absolutely that. If you watched any of the games the entire year and you saw about the form and Georgia and Oregon both won their conference titles, they had to be one and two. They're by far they separated themselves. Now the 3-4 is up for debate. Boise State being the 3 seed seems a little bit ridiculous. Arizona State being the 4, I can live with. I thought their eye test was much more impressive the last couple of weeks. They're a pretty good team. But what I will say where they really, really messed this thing up, how in the world you give Oregon the path that they have to go through here is really, really bad job by them. Now you have them weighted as the top seed overall. They've been number one since the beginning of this thing pretty much. Maybe Ohio State was one week before they played them. I don't even know. I think Oregon was one the whole time. But Oregon now has to, they got to bye, but then they got to play the winner of Ohio State, Tennessee, and likely will have to play Texas in the semifinals. Like, that's a really hard path to me. Now they don't have to play three games, so that's helpful. But even if you look at a team like Ohio State or Tennessee, tough path for them too, because they got to play each other, and then they got to go through Oregon, and then they probably got to play Texas. I thought that was very, very unfair to Tennessee and Ohio State. I thought it was incredibly unfair to Oregon. Thought Texas actually got a better layout. They get to play Clemson, who's their 11-point favorite against, and they get Arizona State, who I think Arizona State could be tricky for them, but they're still going to be favored significantly on paper in those games. So, matter of fact, if you wanted to go through the look-ahead lines of those right now, if Texas were to play Arizona State, they would be 13.5-point favorite in that game. That's pretty crazy. Tennessee would be a 4.5-point favorite, or I'm sorry, Oregon would be a 4.5-point favorite against Tennessee. They'd be a 1.5-point favorite against Ohio State in a rematch from a game they played earlier. On the other side of the bracket, Indiana, Notre Dame, that game bothered me a lot. I thought Indiana should have absolutely been probably 11. They probably, in my mind, eye test-wise, against anybody competent, they really shouldn't even be in this field. If you tell me Indiana's better than Ole Miss or South Carolina or Alabama, and everybody hates Alabama, but there's no way. That's just not. If you watch any games at all and you see how many difficult matchups those SEC teams had to play versus what Indiana played, it's not even close. I thought Notre Dame is ranked too high. I thought, in my mind, if you had to have Clemson in here, I would have had Clemson 12. I wouldn't have had SMU in. So I would have had Clemson 12. I would have had Indiana 11. I would have had Notre Dame 10. And I would have had Alabama no lower than 9. That's how I would have done it. But you got Indiana and Notre Dame playing right there for the right to play Georgia. Now, I think Georgia gets set up pretty good there. Although I was surprised at this. And I'll be on this maybe the biggest bet that I've made in a long time. Look-ahead lines from bookmakers have Notre Dame a 1.5-point favorite against Georgia. That is absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd. That number, that's got to be based on Carson Beck being hurt, which I'm not certain that they're not better without him. But I hope it gets to that point. If Notre Dame wins this and they play Georgia, it looks too good to be true to me. Georgia, to me, minimum touchdown favorite against Notre Dame. That's just off of not looking at numbers and going just visually off of these teams about who they've played and how they've performed and what their A games look like. Who's Notre Dame playing an A game against? Virginia? Ooh, wow, tough one. Stanford? Yeah, boy. Stanford, tricky game. Boy, it just gets old to me, but we'll see. I'm mixed on this game. I like Indiana a small bit, but we'll get into the card and get in the lines here momentarily. But breaking down the bracket is what we're trying to do here in this Exercise Bettors Last Stand show number 112 on the Watchdog Network right now, getting you ready for Sam Andy Classic action basketball down at West Bank Arena tonight. Triple header right here on the Watchdog Network. Go down to the 3 seed in the 6-11 matchup. And here's where we find our value again. Penn State, we said it last week, thought there was some value on them to win the national title. They give I would say parts of their game was a very good showing last week. Their offensive line dominated. I thought their quarterback played okay except for one bad mistake. They ran the ball down Oregon's throat. They really showed a path to be able to beat Oregon. But the problem is you got to have a good offensive line, and a lot of these teams don't. Penn State does. Penn State cannot get out of their own way, though. They're so poorly coached and organized, and their strategy is so bad. It's quite upsetting, but I really like them here against SMU. They get that matchup with the 6-11, then they get to play Boise. I mean, they really could. They're going to be pretty good favorites in both of these games. Penn State, looking ahead next week against Boise, they would be laying 11.5 against a team that's getting a bye. So it's absolutely incredible to me that you have it like this. They really should have consulted bookmakers when they did this, because you have so many lopsided numbers here. It would have been a lot better off if you had a bookmaker involved, and they could have showed you that Alabama would be favored against 8 of these 10 teams. Ole Miss would have been, or 8 of the 12. Ole Miss would have been favored against 7 of the 12. South Carolina would have been favored against 5 or 6 of them. So they definitely missed the boat on that, but we're stuck with it. We'll live with it, and hopefully next year they get a little bit better. To me, I think it should just go back to 4, because to me, I already know who the 4 best teams are. And if Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State, and then the other one's up for debate, because I would have had Alabama in there, but I can make a case for Alabama, Penn State, or Texas as the 4 team. But other than that, there's no chance any of those other teams win it. I'll be shocked if I'm wrong about that. perhaps Tennessee. Thought maybe if they got the right breaks, then perhaps. But having to beat Ohio State and Oregon is going to be hard for anybody. All right, let's get into the games. I'm not going to go through and give you my official picks, but just what I like off the top of my head to start it out. Friday's game, December the 20th. This is next Friday, not a week from tonight. Indiana at Notre Dame. Notre Dame minus 7.5. That's down from the opener of 8. 50.5 is the total, down from the opener of 51. Sharp money coming in on the under in this game. I've heard a lot of pros like the under in this game. Not real certain that I do. I think Indiana is kind of a rhythm offense. They need to play, you know, at a high tempo. And I think Notre Dame has proven that they've been a little bit better when they've played at a high tempo. I'm a little bit against the sharps here, so we'll watch that number, give the official play out next week. Right now, I'm leaning Indiana plus the 7.5. If it stays that or higher, I'll probably play Indiana. Saturday's game's the noon kick. It's SMU at Penn State. Penn State minus 8.5, total 54. Open 52.5 on the total, up to 54. Sharp money on Penn State. Public liking SMU. Penn State has that James Franklin can't win thing, like, and everybody talks about on every show. And it's a real thing, and I'm not sticking up for him because the guy's awful. He's dreadful. But at some point, he's going to luck into a win, and this really isn't a big game. I mean, they're an 8.5-point favorite at home at Beaver Stadium. I mean, I wouldn't call this a massive game for them. Like, I mean, it is, but as far as the opponent, it's SMU. This isn't Ohio State. This isn't Michigan. This isn't Alabama coming to their place, LSU in their prime, or, you know, Texas. But so I think this takes a little bit of pressure off is what I'm getting at. And I think Penn State probably wins this game pretty good. I like them to make a good run here. So I'm leaning Nittany Lions, and I kind of like the over here. It's up to 54 from 52.5. I think Penn State's been an over team for a while now. SMU can score some points as well. Clemson at Texas. Texas minus 11. 51.5 is the total, down from the opener of 53. The public on the over right now, which is weird, came down a little bit. Now the public betting it back up. I kind of liked over originally too here, but then I was thinking, you know what? Texas' defense might be decent. And I'm thinking maybe an under, but don't have a great play here. Sharp money coming in on the horn so far. I lean that way as well. I don't like laying 11 in anything, but I would lean that way. I think Clemson's way overmatched here. Give Dabo credit for getting there, but don't think they can get the job done in Austin. Tennessee at Ohio State, the nightcap on next Saturday. It'll be 7.5. The Buckeyes laying at home. 47.5 is the total. Sharp money on the under. I've also heard a lot of people picking Tennessee, so which worries me quite a bit. Tennessee, I think, will dominate the line of scrimmage, and that was a problem for Ohio State against a far lesser team in Michigan a couple of weeks back at Ohio State, at the Horseshoe. I'd be a little worried. I'm thinking maybe the under in this game. I think Tennessee's defense is very good. Like I said, sharp money on the under. My first instinct in that game, Tennessee and under, but no real play yet. Well, diagnose a little bit more, look at the weather, look at some other things, some other trends that are going on there, and give you my picks for these games next week. I think Penn State's got some value to win it all at around 7-1. They do have an easy path. They could potentially play SMU and Boise before they have to play Georgia. And, you know, if the things go right, that could be a team that they might match up all right with. Now, they'll probably screw it up, but we'll take a chance. The Georgia's most likely winner. They're the best team. Their best A game. They have the best A game is what I'm trying to say. Plus 360, $4 range for them. Tennessee, I mean, 28-1, that's not a bad price, but they have to beat Ohio State and Oregon to get out to the semis. So, and then maybe Texas is waiting, so they may have the hardest path. And then I thought Arizona State, same situation. They'd have to beat, they have a bye, then they'd have to beat Texas, and then probably Ohio State, Tennessee, or Oregon. Well, not probably. They would have to do that. Probably not going to happen, but 40-1 maybe. I think that's a tough side. I'd like to be able to pick those teams, but to me, the only value in this thing, Penn State, and then Georgia, your most likely winner. I can't play Texas at 350 because Georgia's proven that they're better than them. Ohio State, 5-1 maybe, but they have a tough path. No way on Clemson at 50-1. No way at Boise on 60-1. Although I will say Boise's side is not terribly hard. Indiana 45-1. I don't know. Maybe they just, if those two special teams blunders against Ohio State, maybe the whole game's different. Maybe they're undefeated. So I guess I can't completely rule it out, but looking at them in that game, they look very scared. Once they made a couple mistakes, they look very, very scared and timid. So that to me could show up again, which would worry me quite a bit. Notre Dame, I dismiss immediately. 11-1. They have played zero competition this year and lost to Northern Illinois at home. That should be the last thing I have to say. And then Oregon, if you want to play the chalk, they're around 3.5, 3-1. They're due to lose. And I thought Penn State was one stop away from being able to beat them last week, but We shall see. All right, moving along here. A couple minutes left here on Better's Last Dance, show number 112. Getting you ready for the Sam Andy Classic over at West Banco Arena. Triple header coming your way on Watchdog Network right after us here. Bowl games, looking ahead. You got a million of these things. There's a couple of them tomorrow. Actually, well, I got Army-Navy. We already went through that one. It's not a bowl game. But we do have one game, a bowl game tomorrow. This is the IS4S Salute the Veterans Bowl at the Crampton Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. Now, I thought it said the ISIS Bowl with the way that they had this thing labeled. Let's hope it's not that. South Alabama taking on Western Michigan. South Alabama in the state of Alabama. They'll be laying 7, now up to 8 most places. But weirdly enough, it opened 10, and then it went down to 7, and it's back up to 8. The total's 57.5, down from the opener of 59.5. The South Alabama quarterback is in the transfer portal, so that's a problem. So I see why the number went down a little bit. I like over in this game. I think both these teams will throw it around. I think South Alabama, regardless if they have a backup quarterback in the game or not, will be able to move the ball on Western Michigan. And I think Western Michigan can probably score 14 to 17 points in this game. So we're going to go over the 57.5 in the Veterans Bowl at Crampton, Alabama on Saturday. That's a 9 o'clock Eastern time kickoff. Then Tuesday, the Mountaineers. Oh, boy. Neil Brown's gone. What's in store next? Rich Rod, Jimbo Fisher. Someone told me today, Pac-Man Jones. If they hire him, that would be the most incredible hire in the history of any organization anywhere in any industry in the entire world. And that's not going to happen. But the fact that that's even been discussed is alarming. Mountaineers open 1.5 in this game. You can hear the Mountaineers right here on the Watchdog. You're home for Mountaineer basketball, football, and baseball, girls and boys basketball. We actually had Coach Mark Kellogg on the show earlier this week. His Lady Mountaineers off to a great start. So continue to support them here by listening to him on the Watchdog along with the other Mountaineer sports. You can hear this one right here on the Watchdog on Tuesday night of next week, a 9 p.m. kick, ESPN. Mountaineers open 1.5-point favorites in the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas. Now Memphis is -3. So you got a lot of uncertainty about the Mountaineers. You have no idea what the portal's looking like here. Who's going where? What kind of coach they have? Who's coaching this bowl game? I don't know any of that. Tony Caridi and the guys will give you the rundown in the pregame show, which I believe will come your way at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. But I have no idea. I would lean Memphis in this game, but I got to do a little bit more digging. I'll have an official play, BLS_PRP, when I put up my early week bowl games. Leans to Memphis. Maybe the over. I got to see what the Mountaineers are even going to have on the field that day. Wednesday, the next day, December the 18th. This is the Boca Raton Bowl at FAU Stadium in Boca Raton, Florida. Beautiful, beautiful place. Western Kentucky taking on James Madison. James Madison now a 9.5-point favorite, up from the opener of 6. So that went through 7.5 all the way up to 9.5. The total 52.5. And it looks like there's a massive exodus for some of the Western Kentucky guys. I don't know what that means or what's going on there, but a massive move to JMU. You see some guys hitting the portal, I believe, for Western Kentucky. So it could be a big problem for them. And JMU, first ever bowl game, I think, for them. Or no, I'm wrong. I think they've been in a bowl game before. I think that's somebody else. Oh, that's Sam Houston State I'm thinking of. Yeah, we'll get to them in a minute. But JMU, -9.5. Now I get it before it goes to the 2 touchdowns. So we'll go JMU against a depleted Western Kentucky team who's on a 1-3 run to end the year, and they've not played well. And from what I've read, they have some guys already in the portal. Cal and UNLV in the Art of Sport LA Bowl at SoFi Stadium, Inglewood, California. California -4, total 51.5. Lots of defections for UNLV. They lost their coach. They got some guys going. Now, I have heard that it hasn't been as bad as they thought, so some of the guys are sticking around, so we'll keep an eye on that. I like the over in this game. I think there'll be some points. UNLV will play a little looser, and Cal will be inspired for this game. They haven't made a bowl in a while. They'll be ready to play here. I like the Cal Golden Bears -4 and the over 51.5. Of course, Cal is one of the win totals. They'll be cashed right here on Better's Last Stand with our futures in college football. Thursday, December the 19th, it'll be Georgia Southern and Sam Houston going at it in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Caesars Superdome in New Orleans. First ever trip to a bowl game for Sam Houston. You know they're going to be excited. Georgia Southern, I've heard mixed things on them. I've heard they've had some defections already, but I haven't been able to verify that yet. So I'm leaning Sam Houston in this game because it's our first game. There's some sharp money coming in on Sam Houston. Maybe they know about these Georgia Southern Eagles departures. So keep an eye on that game. Again, I'll post the picks at BLS_PRP. And then the last bowl game of the week that we'll cover before we're back with you next Friday, it will be the Ohio Bobcats. Actually, we got two of them here on Friday, December 20th. That will be our Watchdog Christmas party, of course. Ohio and Jacksonville State doing battle here in the Staff DNA Cure Bowl. Camping World Stadium, Orlando, Florida. Be Ohio minus two. Total 54.5. Rich Rodriguez being rumored to take over the Mountaineers. I don't know. Do they want him back? I wouldn't. But maybe they're going to go down that path. Maybe no one else wants the job. What's that mean for his team? Are we going to have guys leaving already? Is he going to agree to terms before this bowl game? Is he going to wait? I don't know. West Virginia probably wants him to agree as soon as possible, start helping their recruiting and their transfer portal, which is already open. And it's outrageous because these bowl games now is like free agency. They should make these the portal open on like February 1st would probably be a smart idea. They've already ruined college athletics, and they just continue to ruin it because there's no rules. And these dudes are just, boom, packing their stuff and leaving. It's craziness. So I like under in this game. I thought Ohio's defense played pretty good in the MAC title game. I think Jacksonville State, they may have one eye on something else. And although they played very well offensively the other night, I like under. Rich Rod's got one foot out the door one way or another. We'll go under 54.5 in that one. And then the final game, Tulane and Florida. The Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl, Raymond James Stadium, Tampa, Florida. Florida have a big home field advantage here. They're now up to a 13-point favorite off the opener of 9.5. The total 51. Tulane already lost their quarterback. He's gone. He's transferred already. I believe he's going to Duke. And they've had other mass exoduses in the portal. So a big problem for Tulane, who kind of had the wheels fall off late in their season. And the Gators, I will say, we had them under the total. They outperformed, and they did play a lot better towards the end of the season. So we're going to go with Florida, a small lean to Florida. 13 is a lot of points. But I do like the under in this game. I think the Florida defense will be way too much for Tulane. They have no quarterback now. Their really good quarterback is gone. He's transferring to the ACC. So that could be big, big problems. A couple other games that were worth mentioning looking further ahead next Monday or two Mondays, the 23rd, Northern Illinois and Fresno State. That's the Potato Bowl. I like that game over 42.5. And then another look-ahead spot, Texas Tech and Arkansas in the Liberty Bowl, I believe. Yeah, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl in Memphis. I like the under 60.5 in that game. And let's see, looking ahead at another one. Oh, Miami, Iowa State. So Iowa State opened a one-point favorite in this game. Miami's now up to -4. And I think the over in this game is an absolute slam dunk. It's 55.5 points. You saw what Iowa State's defense was like last week against Arizona State. And Miami's got a lot better offense. Miami's defense is atrocious. And they are not going to care about this game that much. They are going to just want to show off, score points, run up and down the field, take chances, try to get pick sixes. I know how this team's going to play. It's going to be incredibly loose here in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Get on that 55 right now. I think this thing will end up getting up to 58. I'm shocked it was under 60. I know Iowa State's not known to score, but my goodness. I can't even bet Miami in this game, but now they're a four-point favorite. It's a five-point swing, but I love the over in that game. I love it. Over 55 in the Pop-Tarts Bowl, Miami and Iowa State. That on December the 28th. And then another bowl game from December 31st that I like. I like the South Carolina Gamecocks laying 11.5 in the Citrus Bowl against Illinois. This is men against boys. Illinois played a crummy Big Ten schedule. South Carolina arguably playing the best of anybody in the country late in the season and probably should be in the playoff if you're basing it off of just the actual team's performance. Michigan-Alabama, I don't think Alabama's going to care about this game at all. I can't take Michigan because I just don't know what they're going to be like coming off that big win. That might have just been the pinnacle for them. They probably can't max out another effort. But small lean to Michigan catching 10. I think that number will go down. And then I like under 43.5. I just don't think Alabama will even care at all about that game. Also have a small lean in Louisville and Washington under 51.5 in the Tony the Tiger Bowl. That's the Sun Bowl, 2 o'clock on the 31st. Small lean to Baylor catching 3, anywhere between 3 and 1.5, I see, against LSU. I think LSU, they've checked out a while ago on Brian Kelly. I think Dave Aranda did a good job getting his team back focused, playing decent. And then our last look-ahead spot for early numbers for the bowl season here on Bettors Last Stand, it'll be the Friday, January 3rd game. It'll be Minnesota taking on Virginia Tech in the Duke's Mayo Bowl for the right to cover PJ Fleck in mayonnaise at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. I will lay it with the Golden Gophers. They're much better than Virginia Tech. We'll go -4.5 in that game for the Golden Gophers for PJ to get mustard dumped all over them. So I'll recap those and more next week. Some of the ones that are not time sensitive. The other ones I'll have posted at BLS_PRP. You can find the full version of Bettor's Last Stand at PineRoomStudios.com or at the Pine Room Studios on YouTube. You can also listen to it wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, wherever you get them, they're there. Bettor's Last Stand, show number 112 in its entirety. All right, we're going to get ready to send it out to Soup, and I'm not sure who's on color with him over at West Bank Arena, but should be a great three games of action tonight. Again, Wheeling Park coming your way next against Martins Ferry, and girls basketball action at 4 o'clock, followed by Wheeling Central boys and Monroe Central at 6, and the nightcap. It will be the Wheeling Park boys taking on Brooke at 8 o'clock over at the Sam Andy Classic. Mountaineer basketball tomorrow, Bethune-Cookman, 5 o'clock. Browns and Chiefs right here on the Watchdog, 1 o'clock. Of course, you can hear that Mountaineer game right here on the Watchdog as well. That's going to do it for us here. Bettor's Last Stand, show number 112. Thanks to our friends at the Brownie House. Yes, brownies.com. Visit there today. Get your Christmas brownies immediately. Promo code PINEROOM, 20% off your order. And we're not doing football Fridays anymore. We're transitioning into basketball. We want to thank Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club for their continued support of the Watchdog and the Watchdog Football Fridays. We had a great time doing that. We have the Christmas party next week, five-hour extravaganza led off by Baron Bob, the good old boys who were the pace car for Football Fridays all season long. We did it for 16 weeks, I believe. So great times there. Good times had by all. Hopefully you enjoyed them as listeners. If you have more feedback, again, reach us at the Pine Room Studios on social media, pineroomstudios.com. BLS_PRP can find all the picks. Have a great weekend. Stay warm. Stay safe. Enjoy your betting. Win some bets, hopefully. Let's hope we can get you some winners this week. And enjoy the basketball action coming up. Sam Andy Classic coming up after this on the Watchdog Soup. We'll have the call of three great basketball games over at West Bank Arena. Until then, we will see you next week on Bettor's Last Stand. That'll do it for us here. Wrapping up show number 112. High school basketball is next. The Sam Andy Classic from West Bank Arena. Soup on the call after this. Have a great weekend.